5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to Tech Talk. It is Stephen Scott back with you again today. And this week we have two episodes for you of Tech Talk. Oh, you lucky people. Yes, this is our first emails special of the week coming to you on RNIB Connect Radio on the bank holiday, of course. And we will have the second emails episode in its usual Tuesday 1 p.m. slot. But if you're listening on podcast, it's all here right for you. You can just listen right through and the next episode will play as long as Andy has done his job properly. Andy, will you have done your job properly?
Oh, of course. You know me well. I do my job always properly.
Excellent. Sometimes. Well, that's good news. Apart from the times you don't, you always get it perfect. Okay, great. Well, that's the home. What do they call that? Housekeeping in meetings? They always say, don't need to do our housekeeping.
Yeah.
Well, that's us done that bit. All the exits can be found at the back of the room. They're always found at the back of the room. I mean, where else would you put the exits, frankly? I mean, you wouldn't put them in the front of the room, would you? It would be pointless.
Wouldn't put them on the roof, no.
No, and on the roof, that would be difficult to get. Yeah, it's useless. Yeah. Anyway, that aside, we've got Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet. Hello to you.
Hello. Strong start.
Yeah, you're a good liar.
Always is.
And we've got Callum Stoneman back with us. Callum Stoneman is here, everybody. A round of applause for Callum Stoneman.
Hey,
hello.
That was a big build-up for that. But yeah, okay.
I wasn't expecting that much of an enthusiastic welcome.
How dare you? How dare you? But you're right. I think, yeah, that's probably more than I've given anybody. So you should be... are you feeling honoured?
I am, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, we've got the emails today. In fact, shall we just get right in? Shall we just do it?
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Bing bong. Robin might be getting a bing bong, by the way, during the episode here. So if we go, what I was thinking was, right, every single time emails Andy reads out an email, we'll go straight to Robin to find out what's happening with the doorbell situation. And if he doesn't respond, then we know
he's gone to get his door.
And I want to know what's in the parcel.
Yeah, well, you know what's in the parcel.
Don't tell. We've got to keep some suspense here.
Well, he's getting a package thanks to you, apparently, so...
Yeah.
We'll see.
Peeking behind the curtain here. We know this. We know this. Mm.
That's right, yes. Yeah, I'm sending him all of my old Echoes I don't want. It's a big box. There's a lot of stuff in there. No, we'll get to that because you are getting a parcel today. It's a cool thing, actually. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll get to that. But anyway, let's get into the emails inbox then. There's so many, and we thought, right, okay, let's dedicate the whole of this show and the next show to emails. So, Andy, over to you.
Everybody loves emails. Yeah, so we're going to start with Nadia's sent in a couple of emails, and these are pre-RNIB Digital Radio Review and post-RNIB Digital Radio Review. So see if you can tell the difference. The initial one says, you know, it would be really good if we could get more demonstrations on the shows of products from the RNIB shop. You are an RNIB show, after all, and the shop has plenty of technology that would be useful to people. As she goes on to say, I thought that the demonstration of the Sky Qbox was encouraging and I'm considering subscribing. Thanks so much for that demonstration. Also, I downloaded the Google Lookout app and I've been playing with it a bit around the flat. I think it looks encouraging and I look forward to seeing what they do with it. That's from Nadia. Now, this is the follow-up. Hi, thanks for the radio demo. I was very disappointed, but that was no fault of yours.
Oh, thank goodness.
I admit I'm puzzled. The RNIB claims to be a charity that supports people with sight loss. I'm assuming the aim is to make sure that we are as independent as possible. Surely the definition of the word independent is for you to be able to do things completely without assistance. Time and time again, I buy products from the RNIB, and it says at some point in the instructions, may require sighted assistance to set up or to do something else. What if you don't have sighted friends or family living near you? Why are so many products aimed at people with low vision while people with no vision are neglected? The radio is a case in point. What was the point In adding speech, if you're going to miss the most important aspect of the radio, what if someone does your presets for you and you discover a new station at a later date? 6 presets is pitiful, especially as 3 of them are FM. Most FM stations are available on DAB now. I can't help feeling that this radio discriminates against people with no sight. Surely products designed by the RNIB should be made universal for all vision types, including no vision. Otherwise, they aren't supporting people with sight loss. They are designing products in the hope that people with sight loss have someone living them with them who can help them use the product. I was really looking forward to this, and now I'm really disappointed. It's just as well that I have my Amazon Echoes from a very angry Nadia.
Okay, well, I can tell you a bit of an update on this because I did go back to Nadia following that email and we've had a nice little chat back and forward. I think I've also become Nadia's de facto guide to solve every problem that Nadia has, which is fine. I love this. Basically, I am to Nadia what I am to my family, which is the guy everybody calls and says, how do I make this work? But yeah, we had a nice chat about the radio and yeah, and you know, again, Nadia was very pains actually to tell me that she wasn't concerned about the review of the radio. She was concerned about the specific nature of the radio and the fact that the radio station part wasn't accessible. Now, I've gone back to RNIB on this and I've made it very clear that, and I even actually preempted a bit of this by saying, I think this is going to get some response, right? Because it's just it's a bit obvious in some ways that, you know, that it has all these voice prompts, but the one thing that you would really need it for, which is locating a station, isn't accessible, at least without, you know, without vision. So they've come back and the RNIB have come back and said they've spoken to the manufacturer who told them that this was not something they could build into this kind of product. So that's the response I got from the manufacturer, which came back through RNIB. It's a shame. It really is a shame that we don't seem to be in that position to have that capability in these radios, considering how other technology has got that built in. I don't imagine this runs off some kind of operating system in the way that maybe an internet radio does. Hopefully this will change in the future. I know RNIB, the products team have told me this is something that it pains to fix, but they are restricted by the capability of the manufacturers of the product. So that's kind of where we are in it at the moment. It's not ideal by any stretch. I think we'd all agree that. And, you know, I'm walking a tightrope here, right? Because this is an RNIB product and I'm an RNIB employee and this is an RNIB radio show and I can't say too much, I guess. I think I've been as fair about the product as I can be, considering, you know, some might say it's pitfalls.
From my point of view, I mean, the RNIB don't make anything and they couldn't, you know, they're not a hardware manufacturing company. So,
yeah.
They can advise, they can try and advocate and have partnerships with organisations. But if those organisations aren't prepared to deliver 100% of what they're asking for, only 95 or 80 or whatever, however you want to define it, then they need to decide, okay, do we put this product in the store? Is it going to be useful for some people? So I think, you know, they're just sort of, their hands are tied largely, I think. And in an ideal world, they would be able to dictate exactly what the product would include, but
Callum, do you want to come in on that?
I think I agree in that at first it is a weird idea, isn't it, that you can have any screen reader on your phone or your Mac and that doesn't really, you can sort of throw anything at that and it can try and read it, but something, you know, as simple as like a list of stations, you know, can't read. And obviously I think it's worth saying that if the RNIB could have done it, they would have done, you know. I think it'd be unfair to say they've chosen to it doesn't read the station name. Doesn't matter, we don't need that, you know. I think we are just constrained by technical limitations, and it is a shame. I mean, to be honest, for me, that is a bit of a, if it spoke the station names, I might buy it. Because it doesn't, I probably won't, to be honest. But, you know, we can only work with what we've got, can't we? You know.
Yeah, and it's fair to say that. I mean, at the end of the day, this is one of the things, and actually Nadia brings up an interesting point at the end of that email where she says, thank goodness I've got my Amazon Echoes. Now, there is a lot of people out there who are probably thinking, well, can this just do what an Amazon Echo can do? Well, yeah, but bear in mind, a lot of people might not have internet access or don't want that, who, you know, wouldn't be able to set up an Amazon Echo on their own, so that wouldn't be for them. Maybe the radio would. Also, there are a lot of people who still have got some level of vision. So, you know, and it does have a pretty, I mean, from what I understand, it's actually got a pretty decent screen on the front, so you can read very clearly what the text says. So that's good news as well. And I think what I would say is, and I've said this a lot, and I think we all have about different products at different points, is starting a conversation is important. And if R&IB is starting a conversation today with the manufacturer, I don't believe for a second that anybody in the products team is saying, well, that's it, we've got the radio out, that's that done. You know, I think they're probably sitting thinking, okay, how can we improve on this? How can we make it better? Maybe, I mean, I don't know, I'm just putting this out there, I don't have any knowledge on this, but wouldn't it be great if there was like some update in the future that meant that you could get that information? And maybe that's where we get to in the end. You know, some of the information that I get, you know, I don't get any deep inside information, right? I get maybe told about a product that's coming a few days in advance so that maybe we're aware of it, talking about it on the show. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't know until the product launches and I get told along with everybody else. You know, there's no one-upmanship here. There's no extra information being given out. I'm not privy to the conversations the companies are having, the manufacturers are having with the R&IB, because that would be under an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, and I'm not involved in any of that. They don't trust me with information. You know, I forget where I put my keys most of the time. I'd be useless at this stuff. But I think it would be really interesting to see what comes out of this. And I think the point is that if a conversation is starting, that's a good thing. So we'll leave it there. But, you know, feel free to keep your comments coming in. If you buy the radio, if you did get it and you've got low vision, tell us how you got on with it. Okay, let's go to another email.
It's probably worth saying as well, that, and I wouldn't really sort of recommend this as a reason to buy it, but one possible way to get around it, particularly, I don't know how the display works, but I know if you're on DAB, you often get the sort of station name displayed on the screen. So maybe, you know, something like CNAI could help with that.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Potentially, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. It's it'd be something to try, I guess, if you've got it.
Yeah. Okay, Andy.
Hi, everyone. I hope you're all fine. This is from Shazad. I'm replying back to Robin's comment on using a smartphone when left-handed. The issue with both the iPhone and Android phones is that it can affect your wrists if you're holding it for a long time, and that's why I feel that with smartphones needed to be worked more by using your voice rather than touch gestures. Can you also ask Robin why Lady A always freezes when using it on a PC, as I've noticed it when playing role-playing games? I feel that Amazon needs to update the application for PC users, and I feel that I am more confident in using a computer rather than using a smartphone, as I feel that the narrator is ideal for my use. I am more impressed in how narrator has come by, even though it will be having its 21st birthday soon. Wow. I was impressed by Stephen's demonstration of the talking microwave, as it will give food for thought for anyone wanting to buy a new microwave. Keep up the good work for all that you do at Tech Talk. So yeah, any thoughts about Robin's comments about using his smartphone left-handed, or why it doesn't? Why Lady A freezes when using it on a PC?
I think that if you're using your phone one-handed, you're certainly going to be more clumsy, and so you might want to use voice control. If you are experiencing any discomfort using your phone, then alarm bells would ring for me. And we can talk about some daily exercises that you can do to stretch the nerves in your wrist that really knocked the RSI symptoms on the head for me a long time ago. But that was early stages. If you're getting significant discomfort, you absolutely should go to an OT and get some proper physio for it. So not an OT, a physiotherapist. So definitely do that. But yeah, voice control, it's coming along nicely. It's updated all the time. You can now pick up and hang up calls by voice as well, which you didn't used to be able to before. So yeah, that's definitely coming along. As far as the A-Lady on any third-party platform, whether it's a third-party app on your phone, the app on the Windows 10 app, etc., they are flaky. They're very flaky, and I don't know why. And they only allow you to access certain skills as well, like a subset of the full functionality. So I would go to the actual devices any day of the week. And, you know, hopefully that won't break the bank if you actually get a proper device that will be far more reliable and give you the full function, you know, all the functions, all of the skills, all of the time.
Yeah. The feeling I get is that the app for the iPhone, and I've never actually tried it on the PC, but the app for the iPhone and the PC and stuff is either to help you just do little things, you know, where voice control is a bit convenient, or it's probably more to give you a feel for the Air Lady, you know, to kind of try and tempt you into buying a device rather than it being sort of full-featured Air Lady on another device. I think it's that's how it yeah. feels to me.
There are some great apps, Voice in a Can, a number of them for even your watch, your Apple Watch, where you can get the basics, but yeah, you can't get the full set of skills. So yeah, get a device in your house if you can.
Yeah, it's quite exciting to learn about how the Fire Tablet series is going along. We've just been announced the new Fire series of HD 10, so the 10-inch tablets, now come with an optional keyboard, a Microsoft 365 bundle as well, where you get the keyboard and you get the tablet, and it's giving you a lot more options. And we will get into that in a bit more detail in the coming weeks. I certainly want to be getting my hands on that to try that out. For a particular reason, I do also have issues using the smartphone these days. I'm having more and more issues with it, thanks to a wonderful new feature in my life, which is an essential tremor. That it sounds like some kind of earthquake that must happen somewhere, but it's not. It's where my hand basically shakes, and it started in my left hand. It's slowly starting in my right hand. Great fun. It's been diagnosed as this, and they tell me there's nothing to really be too concerned about. If it develops into something else, well, you know, great. But hopefully not. But it does make using a phone quite difficult these days, and I've found holding the phone is the biggest challenge, because I'm sort of holding the phone. I use the iPhone 12 Pro Max at the moment. That's a heavy phone. So I'm kind of finding I'm using a keyboard with it much more. It gives me more control over the screen. It gives me more control over where I am in terms of the focus with VoiceOver. So I find that really useful. And there are other things you can do. I mean, there's lots and lots of accessibility features I've never touched around this area. But actually under the area of touch, there's a lot you can do to make your phone easier to use. So, you know, there's a lot of aspects to this. You know, as we've said a lot of times on the show, blindness doesn't always come on its own. And sometimes if things happen through life or age or whatever else, you know, the fact is that the phone has got a lot of capabilities in it that you wouldn't necessarily think about. So, yeah, I think it's good to bring that up, you know, rather than just thinking about it from a visual perspective. You know, voice control is very useful to someone who's blind. It's also, it wasn't designed that way, but it does work because it works with VoiceOver. But it actually can help someone who's blind, but perhaps also has additional motor issues. So that's, yeah, rather interesting for sure. So yeah, thank you for bringing it up, Shazad. Glad you're enjoying the show, and thank you for your email. Let's get another one, Andy.
Hi guys, thanks for a good show. All the little tips and trips. Tips and tricks.
That could have gone horribly wrong, thankfully it didn't.
Could have been my last day there. All the little tips and tricks mentioned here are really handy. I wish I'd come across your show sooner. This show has helped me a lot during my vision loss journey. Anyway, back to my main question. I am a programmer, and I primarily use NVDA as my screen reader of choice, as it's the first screen reader I familiarized myself with after I could no longer read text. I was wondering if anyone could suggest what screen reader I should go to next. Don't get me wrong, NVDA does a pretty good job for what I do. I want to increase my productivity, and I was hoping maybe someone else had been there and done that, as I don't have the resources to try all screen readers properly. I write my code on Notepad++, and it's fully accessible, and I have to deal with the server side from time to time. I'm not sure if I should spend money on a machine with JAWS or MacBook with VoiceOver, as over all of the costs add up to about the same price, and none of them are cheap. I would like to share a little tip on NVDA. I know a long time ago you guys were talking about problems with screen reader cutting out audio when using Bluetooth headsets. For NVDA, you can use an add-on called Bluetooth Audio. A simple Google search for Bluetooth Audio NVDA add-on should bring it up. I also wanted to share a success story of an accessibility fix for an app that I use for banking called Monzo. I reported some voiceover bugs to Monzo Bank and they fixed it within a few weeks. I was amazed at how they actually understood the voiceover problem in one go. I think it's really important for us to all report accessibility bugs and to get them fixed ASAP. Finally, I want to thank you guys for having a good, balanced discussion on Braille. You have encouraged me to learn Braille. I'm a complete newbie to Braille.
Sorry, I had to drop something there in shock at that news. Okay.
I'm a complete newbie to Braille, and I don't know a single dot. Although I currently do not have a case for Braille on my work or at home, screen reader is covering all of my needs for now. Braille note-taking certainly interests me. Robin, please suggest a good excuse for getting Bose frames. From what I hear you saying on the program, it seems like a good tool to have in the toolbox. Smiley face. Regards. That's from someone who wants to remain anonymous, but okay. From somewhere in England.
Okay, well, hello, anonymous in England. Thank you for your email. Really appreciate that. And, a lot to deconstruct there. Let's start with Bose frames then. I know why they're great. Why do you think they're great, Robin?
I absolutely love them. Now, they're not cheap. I got mine for $200, my most recent pair, the Bose Frames Tempo, and they have been updated significantly since the first model that came out. Much more robust. I have bumped my face on a door frame.
Stop doing that.
I know. But these didn't even blink, an eye. So they're very, very more robust. They're wraparound. They're really cool, apparently. Mirrored shades, the default ones for the Tempo, they hold your face very nicely because they wrap around and they won't fall off even if you took a tumble or something. So the sound's really good. It doesn't block your ears. So if you're out and about, I would definitely recommend turning them off to cross the street. But you've got nothing anywhere near your ears anyway. So once you've stopped listening to them temporarily, then it's as if you didn't have any headset on or anything. Really, really nice. Battery life is very long. Charged by USB-C now. So there's loads of reasons to go for it. There's 200 reasons not to, but go for it. I would do. I think it's worth the money anyway.
Have you tried these, Callum? Have you tried the Bose frames?
Yeah, I've got the original ones. I love them. They work great with them. It's risky saying this because is it audio reality? Something? Bose AR, that's it. But it does still work with Soundscape, at least for now.
Yep. That's the one downside.
They've enhanced my experience of Soundscape massively, and that's my main use for them.
That's the one downside with the new model is that they don't have that compass in anymore, I'm afraid. I was missing that the other day when I was using Soundscape. But as long as you're walking in a direction, if you're walking along, then the GPS knows your kind of orientation. So it still works, but you can't turn your head and have things panning around you. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's my primary use for them. But, between those and, I guess those and the aftershocks really are the best ones for being out and about. And most of the time, even if I'm not using Soundscape, I find myself using the Bose frames because, to anyone else, they're just a pair of pretty stylish glasses.
Yeah, although I have to give a health warning here, and I want to. This is a personal issue, granted. Some might say this is only my issue, but I did buy myself because Robin had talked about the new ones, and I thought, I'm going to get myself a new pair. I'm not going to be outdone by Christofferson, Lord, Doctorate, whatever. So I thought, no, I'm going to get myself a pair. So I opted for the new. I think it's called the Tenor ones, the new range. So there's just three new models out. There was Tenor, there was Soprano, and Tempo. So those were the new three. Now, I should say that the Tenor and the Soprano still use the same magnetic type connector that you got on the original. Which is handy if you buy a new pair, because you'll get that you can use the same cable. It's only on the Tempo that you get the USB-C for charging, which is interesting. Why not upgrade them all? I don't know, but that's where they are with it. But yeah, the Tenor and the Soprano, they would be some. I mean, the thing is, they don't say this anymore, but you would say maybe one's geared for men, one's geared for women. But again, it's choice. One is square, one is rounded, essentially, in terms of the frames. My wife has the Rondo ones, which was the original ones. You know, basically that's Bose for round. I can't remember what mine's were. Alto, I think mine's were. I think that'd be the same one you've got, Callum, the Alto ones. And I got when I got them at the time, they were like 170 quid or something. And I remember buying them and loving them. And I still have them to this day, and I still use them a lot of the time. Because I do wear sunglasses a lot of the time, and it just makes sense to me to have the sound come out there as well. But I bought this most recent pair of the Tenor, and they didn't fit my head. I can't explain it. They just didn't fit my head. So I wasn't comfortable with them at all. It felt like my entire head was being squeezed in the middle. Yes, I do have, too big a head. I mean, it's not the first time I've heard that.
They're snug. They are snug. It's true.
Yeah. And apparently, because it was interesting, I checked the box and it did say one size. Well, they used to do a small, medium and a medium large size. Didn't do that anymore. So I'm glad I got the ones I've got, although I may have to borrow the 800 pairs that Robin has that he's been sending back and getting returns on all the time, because I don't think I'll get a pair again like that. In fact, that's actually why you got rid of, or not get rid of them, but that's why you swapped, isn't it? Because you felt that the other ones were falling off your head.
Yep.
So
kept on breaking them.
But actually, to your point, Callum, on aftershocks, I recently got the OpenCom headset purely based on a conversation I had with someone at Clubhouse. And I said to them, my goodness, your audio is so clear. What are you using? And they said, OpenCom from Aftershocks. And I was stunned, because generally the audio from Aftershocks was never that great. The sound was okay, but the audio wasn't great through
the
microphone.
OpenCom.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Really
brilliant. Is that, have you got one as well?
Yeah, I've got that. And I got it for work, because I know there's a bit of lag, but I quite like a wireless headset.
Yeah, me too.
I quite like the feeling of not being sort of tied to the computer. But in fact, I'm going to end up bringing up a question of my own here. What I found is if I join, they work really, really well, but if I join, say, a Teams call, then the sound from the call comes through, but I lose speech from like Jaws or narrator.
Yes, this is a new
don't
problem.
Know if that's a common thing.
This is a new problem. I had this with, I got a wonderful pair of headphones called Jabra Elite 65T Evolve. Catchy name. And I got them thinking these would be great for doing stuff. If I want to, you know, do a Teams call or whatever. They had really cool features like the microphone boom arm. When you bring it down, it turns the mic on. And then when you push it back up, it turns it off. There's a Teams answer button on there. You know, it's got a nice little feature, a busy light, you know. So if Andy was in the office and he wants to talk to me, I'll just turn my little light on when I hear him coming over. And oh, not busy,
you'd,
sorry, busy. Can't
you'd
talk.
Love one of those.
Busy.
Yeah. Just on all the time.
Never turn it off.
Just keep buying replacement bulbs for it, because they keep burning out. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the idea of buying an old bulb. Is that the same place you get the ones for the fires? Remember they used to get the fire bulb for the one in the living room? But yeah, so great features. But again, the same problem. As soon as you got into a call, it would cut off your screen reader, which meant you had no access to anything. Now, some would say this is where Braille would be useful, right? Because then you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Which does bring us into this conversation about Braille. Now, it's lovely to hear that you're thinking about going down the Braille route. I'm hearing a lot of people actually get in touch now saying, based on the conversations we've had, they're trying it out, they're getting into it. But interestingly, that point about no use case, I think that's interesting, because I think it depends on your age, I think, but I always think there's an excuse to say that. I could use exactly the same excuse. I could say, I've got audio, I'm used to audio now, do I need Braille? And the answer is probably no, but I do miss having a sense of spelling of words. I just feel I've lost so much, certainly in the last maybe 10, 15 years, maybe more unaware of it than as I have been, maybe more aware of it in the last 4 years. But certainly over time, I just think about, if I think of a word, I used to be brilliant at spelling. Brilliant at it. I could tell you any word you want, throw it at me, I'll tell you the spelling of it. Now I'm forgetting the actual word and how it lays out. And I think I just want to get that back, and I can get that back with Braille. And it's been funny. I remember one word which got me. We were out in the shop, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to buy some paracetamol. And in my head, I've got an idea of how you spell paracetamol, but I couldn't remember. So I got it was in the Co-op, and it had, and the Co-op products have got the Braille on them, right? So I pick up the box, and I'm like, hang on a minute. Paracetamol. Ah, that's how you spell it. Okay. And that was it. I then had that word. And I just thought, isn't that brilliant that I'm able just to get that back easily? So, you know, I mean, in a UK, is there a use case? Well, there's always an argument against it, I think. But I do. I think illiteracy is ultimately my thing. That's why I just want that back. You know, I just want to have that knowledge back. Robin, I think you're all right. I think you don't seem to be as fussed about it as I am, and that's fine. That's the whole point, right? I know we've been hit on this before, but I think it's a choice thing, right?
Yeah. If you are reading, you know, actually reading rather than listening 24/7 or however long you want to read every day on a Braille display, for example, or hard copy Braille, I think your spelling is going to be better, that's for sure. I mean, when you have to type all the time, you know, you can tell when you've made a mistake. It will, you know, make a noise at you, and you can run the spell checker and stuff like that. There are loads of UK use cases for Braille. So I think, you know, strings to your bow. Yeah. If you can use the Fingerprint Course or something similar, use Perky Duck. What was it? Is it Perky Duck?
Duxbury, yeah, from Duxbury, the free app you can download for Windows and Mac. Hilarious name, but brilliant. I mean, Perky Duck, yeah. I still to this day don't know if it's two words or one, but it's essentially replicating. I don't know if you've heard of this, Callum, but there's the kind of replication of the Perkins input keyboard via this app. I would say it's almost like a notepad app, but the input is Braille, and it's great.
I was telling someone about Perky Duck the other day, and they genuinely, it took me ages to convince them that I wasn't winding them up. It's because of the name. They didn't believe me. I said, no, just Google it, Perky Duck. They said, no, you're winding me up. That is not an app name. You're just making me look like an idiot. I said, no, I'm serious. It's actually an app.
Yeah, go and Google it. I mean, you know, you might need to be careful with some of the results, but yeah, that's... Yeah. Unless it's from Duxbury, it's fine.
Maybe go private browsing.
Yeah. Incognito mode, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what else did, because there was that email had a lot in it. I remember Braille.
Yeah, there's a lot to embrace it. So the accessibility fix that they sent to Monzo Bank. So I'm interested if anyone else here has ever had any other success stories of messaging a company and saying, by the way, this doesn't work. I don't know if anyone's had any joy with that, like the anonymous has.
Well, we approach people all the time. And yeah, most of the time they're responsive, and then they work to their own time frame as to when they can fix the things. But yeah, we're in that game, definitely.
Yeah, I must say, for me, I think it's been... one thing I've noticed over the years, maybe not specific examples, and I wouldn't want to necessarily name names, but I would say that smaller developers are the ones that tend to get back to you quickly. They're the ones who tend to take an interest. I have had some really interesting examples, though, of people come back to me and say, oh, no, we don't have blind customers, which I find just hilarious. I'm like, I don't know what that means. Like, how do you know? Do you ask when they come in? Do you ask when they sign up to your app? Hello, are you blind? No. Oh, well, in which case, you know, you better leave. So I think there are some people who get it, or some people who are willing to get it. I think a brilliant example I will mention is, and this wasn't through me, but through a friend of mine, an app called Just Press Record, which is a brilliant app for the Mac. It's sort of available, I think it's available cross-platform, maybe not on Android. I could be wrong. I don't think it's on Android. But basically, there was a lot of issues with this app when it came out. And a number of people got in touch. One in particular got in touch with the developer. And they're based up in some tiny part of Scotland somewhere. And they were like, okay, how can we fix this? And they asked the person to join on a call, and they talked through how it would work and, you know, just essentially, you know, how a blind person would use it and what the experience was, and let the person hear what it was like to use it without the necessary accessibility fixes. And they went beyond with it. They not only made it accessible, they even brought out a really fancy Apple Watch version of the app. And it wasn't particularly accessible, but it looked amazing. And the developer said, okay, we need to fix this because we don't want voiceover users not being able to use it. So what we'll do is we'll develop a unique voiceover version that is only active to a VoiceOver user. So it's not visually very appealing, but it's 100% accessible. And I think that's great. I mean, you might argue it wouldn't be better just to have one version for all, but the fact is that they're managing that. It's on them, and they're implementing it. And I think that's fantastic. So, yeah, there are some really good examples. I do think smaller developers are better at it. Bigger companies, I mean, I've approached various companies, usually around, for example, WordPress themes, because that's one thing I tend to look at a lot. And you get nothing back. Or, you know, yeah, it's accessible, as in it's available to buy. No, that's not what I mean. You know, so it's all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's interesting, very interesting. But no, great news about Monzo Bank. I'm glad that they listened. And that benefits all of us, right? That benefits all of us if we know that that's more accessible. And blind people, I think, are loyal. You know, they're loyal to companies that are loyal to them, as would any customer be if they provide a product that's good and available and useful to you. So, yeah, more power to them. All right, look, let's move on because we've got lots of other emails, and we do really appreciate these emails, and I mean that. So, you know, we want to get through them today. Let's
do you want to cover the main question he had about NVDA, or have we caught?
I can briefly cover that.
Actually, we should. Yeah, we should touch on that. Do you want my answer, which is basically just don't do it. Stick with NVDA. I mean, really, what are you going to gain? I mean, I don't. I can see all the emails now from people saying, "Oh, JAWS is so much better and it's great," blah blah blah. Yes. Don't doubt that. But if you're a home user and it's for home use and maybe the intention is to get into work, okay, maybe. Maybe there's an argument to say you might want to learn JAWS for that reason. Although if you know NVDA, you're probably halfway there. Whether it's worth the investment or not, I don't know. And as for a Mac, oh, forget it. Don't even bother. That's just not worth the hassle.
Yeah, Robin? I think if you're...
Robin's going to hate me for saying that.
No.
I mean, I'm surprised to hear you say that about an Apple product, but
yeah, well, I mean, I'm not. I mean, I'm an Apple fanboy, but I know the limits, right? And I think the limit is VoiceOver's good. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love VoiceOver, I love using it on the Mac, but for getting stuff done, if I really have to get stuff done, I turn to Windows every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, because Windows is got the advantage when it comes to productivity, you know, word processing or using Excel or, you know, something like that, or, you know, spreadsheets and PowerPoints. I think the Apple versions and the versions that are available on the Mac, there's a simplicity that they just don't have on the Mac, I think. But for what he mentioned, for what they mentioned there about writing code, you know, in Notepad++, I think that is the ideal. You know, I do a lot of code for work, for a lot of development work, and everyone kind of uses, my colleagues use quite a lot of the fancy stuff, you know, Visual Studio and stuff, whereas I just like this simple, like really light, simple, you know, Notepad plus. But and I think I think NVDA more than does the job for that.
I can't imagine this is going a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, this is going a bit advanced as well, but if your Braille skills get good enough, then using a Braille display to help you with writing code is really nice as well.
Well, actually, yeah, it would probably help a lot, wouldn't it? Because, again, that specific coding.
Well, for programming languages like Python, where you've got to be, for example, a line has got to be indented by three or four spaces or it won't work, you know, and yeah, screen readers can read that out. I think there's settings in NVDA that you can change to describe that to you. But yeah, Braille is really nice for that. I'll always turn to Braille and speech when I'm doing development stuff.
Robin?
Yeah, I mean, if your coding is primarily text-based, you know, text editing, then I don't think you're going to get any benefit of using JAWS over NVDA, for example. One area where you would need to use a Mac is if you want to develop for the Mac or iOS. You know, you can only get Xcode in Mac OS, and that's very accessible. But very briefly on the add-on that he mentioned for NVDA, if you know, you're using a Bluetooth headset and it drops off that first bit of speech, that's a really good addition. So thanks for flagging that. Since, you know, it was known as an issue, then JAWS has built a feature into the more recent versions of JAWS as well, that keeps the kind of sound card active the whole time. And if you haven't got either of those, then you can get a free utility called Silenzio, which will keep that connection open all the time as well for Bluetooth headsets, so that you don't get the first bit of your phrases chopped off all the time.
Yeah, that's a great little tool. That's one I use. In fact, funnily enough, I've got Silenzio running and whatever Jaws is doing as well. So I've got, you know, oodles of silence on my computer. It's so quiet in here, I can barely hear myself think. Right, did we answer that email? Excellent.
I think so.
Okay, yeah. Let's move on.
We're going to stick with NVDA onto this next email. This is from long-time listener Greg in Pennsylvania. Hello, talkers. In choosing a screen reader for home use, one factor worth considering is the level of training and support one needs, as well as your needs require magnification as well as screen reader. Freedom Scientific provide extensive training material from novice level to more advanced training, and also provide telephone and email support, as well as remote assistance that just isn't available with NVDA, and the support from Microsoft with Narrator is much less extensive. This is a need that is worth careful consideration with your abilities and needs. In addition, NVDA is supported by voluntary donation. I hope all who use NVDA can afford to support it financially. I use Fusion Jaws as my primary access tool, but also use NVDA, and I donate regularly as I believe it plays a very important role. Both NVDA and Narrator are heavily dependent on concepts and user interfaces originally developed for Jaws. I wish I knew more about Dolphin's screen readers, but I have no experience with them. Stephen mentioned not having a choice when he first started using Zoom Text because he didn't know about the choices. And that's why I'm always complaining that your show doesn't talk about specialized tech enough. It's hard for people to know what's available and how it can change your life, and programs like yours can do so much to bridge the giant information chasm. Regards, that's from Greg.
I always love when Greg starts sparring with me on this.
Yes.
Love it. No, listen, Greg, I agree. And, you know, we will always, I think we can always do more. We will always do more on this. And we've certainly spoken to Dolphin a number of times on the show over the years. And we'll speak to them again, you know, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, we'll always want to talk about it. And if someone out there is using Dolphin and wants to come on and tell us about their experience of it, to be honest, I'd rather hear that. You know, tell us an honest view of it. So, you know, get in touch through the email, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. This is the best way to go with that. Let's move on to another email.
Yeah, we're going to stick with NVDA. This is from Rebecca Skipper. Thank you for taking the time to discuss the merits of all major screen readers. There are a few points that I would like to add. First, NVDA offers add-ons, and since the project is open source, anyone with the right programming knowledge should be able to create an add-on. If tech companies and governments have a way of securing JAWS scripts, then why not apply the same procedures to NVDA add-ons? I hope the UK gets the same home use program that we get in the US. Consumers can buy an annual license for $90. NVDA is free for now, but we should donate to keep it free. Narrator, NVDA and JAWS have similar key commands, making the learning process a little less intimidating. I agree that JAWS is the best option for employment, and I am self-employed. However, NVDA is faster and more responsive at times. I think everyone should have at least two screen readers on Windows, because there are times when NVDA or Narrator might work better with some other applications. There's no harm in downloading NVDA, since it's just as good as JAWS. VoiceOver on the M1 Mac is very responsive, but it is my understanding that app availability is limited. I know of people who use NVDA professionally, and I am grateful that we have multiple screen reader options. And if more people had the ability to purchase an annual home license for JAWS or to use NVDA, we might be able to reduce barriers to employment. Thanks. That's from Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca. Yeah, on the M1 MacBook point, maybe this is the point we talk about what's in your box, Robin.
Go to the door.
Is it there?
Yeah. Yeah,
wow,
yeah, yeah.
I love the internet. I give a guy a box at the door. I've gone to the internet and I've said, send me a man with a van, or a woman, you know, or anybody else. I don't care, as long as the person can drive.
That's the only stipulation I have. They must be able to drive and have a van, and preferably be part of a major logistics network. Yeah, the person came and took the box away, and then it was with you, and that was a MacBook Pro, right, that I sold to you because I've bought a MacBook Air. And you think, hang on a minute, whoa, hang on, because I can hear Callum right now going, hang on, MacBook Pro, you get rid of that to get a MacBook Air? but, okay, here's my reasoning. I miss the function row. The function row, and there's a big reason for that. Because I've discovered remote desktop, Microsoft remote desktop, which, you know, I've known it's been there for a long time, but they updated it for M1 recently. That's kind of what brought it around. And I'm loving being able to connect to my computer. But when I connected to it on the M1, on the MacBook Pro, I should say, I had real problems because I didn't have a function row, so using JAWS was a bit of a nightmare. It's doable, but it's not as easy. So not for me. So that's why I wanted the iBook here. And last night, I was sitting, getting up quite late last night, setting it all up and doing it all with VoiceOver. Hugely, hugely responsive. Very impressive. Got it all set up and it was lovely. And then I was working within about a couple of hours. An hour maybe. I was up and running. I had updated to the latest version of macOS 11.3. Got all the new features. My new emojis. I'm so excited. I just can't hide it. And that was me. I was working on my PC within, you know, a few minutes of that, and it was great, just absolutely brilliant and snappy and fast, almost faster than the virtual machine that Robin tries to shunt off on me on a fairly regular basis.
Well, remote desktop's magic, isn't it, if you've got another computer running Windows on your local network.
Well, that's the thing, really, and it does mean you need a machine sitting on all the time as well, but at the same token, for me, it's a PC laptop. It's a Lenovo laptop sitting there. And, you know, I don't have a screen connected to it. I have a Bluetooth keyboard. I've said this before, my Logitech MX keys connected to my RNIB laptop, connected to my Lenovo laptop, connected to my Mac Mini. And that's my kind of day-to-day working setup. But my MacBook Air, my idea is that I can squash all these three computers into one. And I can sit in my kitchen or out in the garden when it's nice and get all my work done without having to, you know, carry around three computers, which is a bit of a pain in the neck, to be quite frank. And yeah, okay, I could just use the PC, but then I miss all the functions of the Mac. I like to have it all in one. So yeah, for that reason, I think it's brilliant. As for app limitation, yeah, there's a couple, but I wouldn't say it's too bad. I think the biggest issue at the moment is that a lot of people are expecting to be able to use their iOS apps, the iPhone apps, on the Mac, and that seems to be very slow in trickling out those apps. A lot of developers have pulled their apps back from that option. So I was thinking Facebook would be amazing on there, or Twitter would be really good on there, or what's the other one? WhatsApp, you know, that kind of thing. But you can't do that yet. So hopefully it'll come, and I'm sure it will. But it's, you know, bear in mind we're in a transition phase with Apple on this one. As for NVDA, and going back to Windows for a second, I think that, you know, NVDA is just such a great tool, but I wonder, and I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, I get in trouble every time I speak these days, but I think if Freedom Scientific, and it's actually not Freedom Scientific in the UK, it would be Sight and Sound Technology here, if Sight and Sound Technology start offering the low cost, what is it, £90 a year or whatever it is, for JAWS, is that going to mean that people will move away? Because I'll be honest, that would make me just be a JAWS user all the time. When you think how much that would cost, it's probably costing less than Netflix.
They do have JAWS on offer annually, usually. They have done for the last few years as part of Sight Village.
It's not as cheap as that, though, is it? It's a bit more expensive than the...
I think it's been...
It's the Home Edition, isn't it?
Yeah, JAWS Home Edition, was it?
Which is what you last get with the American version. I mean, the US thing is Homes.
Well, I think last year it was about 115, I think, for a new license, or 120.
Someone
which
has
still isn't too bad.
Someone's audio from somewhere is sounding absolutely awful.
Rain on a tent.
Yeah, exactly. Have we caught someone in a rainstorm?
Hang on.
I wanted to say, they've come out again.
Callum's muted, so it must be coming.
Oh, Callum's muted, okay. Go for it, Rob.
Also say about productivity. So I was thinking the other day, and I should have done some Googling, but the ribbon which is very common across a lot of Windows productivity apps, you know, the core ones, Office, etc., even File Manager, Windows Explorer, sorry. That is really, really challenging for me. So I have Jaws' virtual ribbon turned on, which basically turns into menus, drop-down menus, a little bit more complicated than that, because sometimes it'll pop out into a kind of a grid or something, but it's far, far more manageable. Now, I'd really like to know from listeners if NVDA has an add-on or built-in functionality that in some way improves the user experience of the ribbon, because you can get so easily confused and, you know, lose your place when you're navigating around in the ribbons on Office.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I must say, I don't know. I think we'll get an answer for sure on that. We clearly have a lot of people listening to us who use NVDA. So, yeah, that's very interesting. I think, you know, the thing is, again, it's one of those tools I've never really get into, because I feel, you know, I learned VoiceOver on the Mac. I learned Jaws on the Windows side. I'm now learning Narrator. I've spent a lot of time with Chrome Vox. It's like I can only have so many keyboard commands in my head at once without them all just becoming mush. So I haven't touched NVDA, but it's not because I don't like the sound of it or don't want to use it. I just don't need another screen reader. But I do also appreciate that it's a really handy tool in the toolbox to have, like Narrator is. Today I was doing something in the system settings on Windows, and I thought, I really need Narrator here because Jaws just isn't getting into the bits I need it to. And Narrator's better at it, especially on the Windows side, on the Windows settings side. So, yeah, anyway, that aside. Let's get another email. We'll check in first on Callum. Are you all right, Callum? Clearly not.
Well, I hope so. I don't know what's going on with mine.
Oh, your microphone's tossed. It sounds like you're on the sea. I actually, do you know what? Right now, I'm having... I remember when I was... A couple of years ago, I'd gone to Norway with my wife on a cruise. And, you know, that sound has taken it... It's brought me back. It's actually... I'm going to get teary in a minute here because I'm thinking about that cruise. I want a cruise. I want to go on a cruise. I want to eat all night food from a buffet, questionable quality, and travel to different places and wake up in a new city. Yeah, got that off my chest. Right, Andy.
Right, this is an email from Keith Waters. Hi to you all. I wonder if you have come across a new PVR set-top box from Humax called Aura that has the Google TV app installed, as it claims to have text-to-speech and voice command. I've tried to read up on it and find a good review of those features, but there isn't enough information for the VIPs. I think it works as well as it implies. This could just be what a lot of blind people have been looking for a long time. It could cut the cost of a top-of-the-range TV, as it would play through any fairly new TV or even through a sound system. The RNIB used to sell a Freeview recorder, which was withdrawn, possibly because of the cost of the production and some limitations. So getting one of those off of the shelf could be what people are looking for. I was wondering if, through your connections, I don't know if this is your connection, Stephen, it could be demonstrated on one of the many podcasts that are around. I do think it's worth a look at, even if it turns out to be not as accessible as we thought we would know, so we don't waste our money. Thanks for reading this email, and I hope you're all keeping safe and getting your jabs soon. That's from Keith Waters.
I've had mine.
Yep.
No, not me.
Well, I will
down the list.
I haven't seen this box or heard of this box at all, but I have heard of more TVs getting, you know, Google built in. And it's interesting because the new Chrome, now what's it called again? Chromecast TV? Is that the new dongle that they brought out last year? Or was it this year? I can't remember. I mean, to be honest, I don't pay a huge amount of attention to Google in this area. But I did actually, I think I've actually bought the Chromecast. It's in here somewhere. I remember plugging it in, spending a bit of time with it and thinking, yeah, it's fine. Not as responsive as I had hoped. That was my honest, you know, earlier review of it. But I didn't go back to it, but I will. As for the set-top box, the only part of it that concerns me is the fact that it may run on its own proprietary software first, before you get into the actual Google part. And will that be accessible? And I would guess the answer is no. I had the same issue with my Sony TV. So the Sony TV has got Google built in. The whole thing's run off Android. But it actually needs sighted assistance to get you to the point where it's usable. Now, is it fully usable? Well, no, because you have the menus that are accessible. If you're watching on Freeview in the UK, then yes, you'll be able to go through the electronic program guide. If you've got a hard drive connected, you can record programs. But, you know, if you want to use the third-party apps, you've got a problem because they are not accessible. So, you know, and it's the same. It's not so bad with Google. I think Google are much better at this. And Google's Chromecast TV box is, or dongle is actually better at this. You know what? Maybe I'll get it out and I'll have a try and play and maybe do a bit of a demonstration for a couple of weeks' time. How's that sound? And you can tell me your thoughts, good or bad. I think people think because it's, you know, as soon as I mention Android, I just fall asleep. It's not the case. It's just that I, you know, generally I live with Apple TV. So it's like, you know, because it all works and I love it. Just buy one of them. okay, we've got very little time left. Callum, I just want to check in on you. Are you all right there? Are you enjoying yourself on the seas?
Am I back from the sea yet?
Yeah?
Oh, please. That's much better. I mean, oh, and just at the end of the show. Is that not typical? Right, go. Well, if you've got a comment, go for it.
It was a nice trip.
Yeah.
I don't know what went on there. I got a Toshiba TV recently, and that has no voice guidance on it whatsoever. But I thought, because that also runs some form of Android, and I thought, well, you know, you could probably download TalkBack onto it, but it's got a kind of limited app store by the looks of it, which would also be my only concern with that. Is it Humax?
Humax.
Although it runs Android, obviously not all Android apps will work out of the box on a TV. So, it's interesting. I'd be interested to try it out.
And it's not unique to any of these things. I mean, you know, it's the same with Sky. I mean, Sky is the same issue. You know, the voice guidance is brilliant on the service. It gives you access to all their, you know, channel information and you know, you can read program synopses and find out if it's got audio description, all that wonderful stuff. But when you go into those third-party apps, it just falls silent. In fact, actually, in fairness, one thing I really like about the Sky Q voice guidance option is that it actually tells you this will not work with voice guidance. And I think that's actually really helpful. Rather than just falling silent and doing nothing, it actually tells you. I mean, you know, it's a bit like me. You know, I'll often start my day by saying, I'm not going to work today. And then everybody knows where they stand. Simple as that. Look, we're out of time. I'm glad that joke landed well. Right, we are out of time. We will be back, of course, with a brand new episode tomorrow. If you're listening on RNIB Connect Radio, Tuesday, 1 p.m. on the podcast. It's the one right after this one. You got a double helping of Tech Talk this week. Callum Stoneman, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Be singing sea shanties for us. Oh no, wait a minute, someone's already done that. Robin and Andy, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Cheers.